Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Movies and a Meal, a podcast where we talk about movies and other things while we eat. I'm your co-host, Ben, and as always, I'm joined by Keith.
Hey.
All right, two movies to talk about today. Keith is going to first review Wicked Little Letters, a movie that stars Olivia Colman and Jesse Buckley. And then we're going to close it out with a review from both of us with the latest from Zendaya, which is Challengers, the tennis movie slash thruple movie.
Thruple, yeah.
Yeah, from the director of Call Me By Your Name, among other things. But I'm going to turn it over to Keith first to review Wicked Little Letters. And even before that, I'm going to do the summary, courtesy IMDb. When people of Littlehampton, including conservative local Edith, begin to receive letters full of hilarious profanities, rowdy Irish migrant Rose is charged with a crime. Suspecting that something is amiss, the town women investigate.
There's not much to say about Wicked Little Letters except that it's a total charmer. It'll make you laugh a lot. And when you throw in that it's Jesse Buckley and Olivia Colman and they're having a lot of fun, it was a real treat, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I'll keep this pretty quick so we can get to the main course today. These movies are, in fact, pretty much polar opposites, with Wicked Little Letters being lighter-than-air fluff that still made me smile pretty much throughout. I'll hardly believe that something this silly is based on a true story, but apparently so. Set in 1920, in the height of the suffragette movement in Britain, it's about the town of Littlehampton and eventually the entire country becoming infatuated with the case of someone in town sending salacious and mildly threatening letters to people. Most of them, in fact, are sent to Olivia Colman's Edith, and her neighbor, the free spirit Rose, played by Jesse Buckley, becomes the primary suspect. From there, not really much happens at all, because even though this is described as a comedy slash mystery, it's really all about the comedy here, the two of them in an epically fun battle of wits. This certainly helps, as these are two of my favorites, who play off each other perfectly here. Coleman's spinster Edith, who knows she's let the world pass her by, is constantly challenged by the freewheeling Rose, and that dynamic is a joy to watch. And the cast here is also fun and deep, starting with Edith's controlling father, the always great Timothy Spall. And best of all, Anjana Vasan, as the enterprising young cop who cracks the case, and young Alicia Weir, also seen recently in Abigail, as Rose's daughter Nancy. As I'm sure you can tell by now, this one is clearly for the set who enjoyed the BBC comedies and mysteries that dominate the fair on PBS. And I was indeed the youngest person in my pretty packed show. But so what? It's also thoroughly fun and a real accomplishment for director Thea Sharrock, who also has the charming Netflix movie The Beautiful Game out at the same time. If you're looking for a feel-good comedy starring two of our very best actresses, please seek this one out when it streams for sure. I will give it an affectionate 3 stars.
Okay, let's talk about Rotten Tomatoes.
All right. Well, I imagine critics like this one quite a bit, but it wasn't perfect, so I'll go 80. And if you're going to go see this, you like the British comedies, I'll go 90.
Okay, so you nailed the critics, as 80%. Mm-hmm. Audience, just a couple ticks above, actually, 92%. Mm. And the critics' consensus, courtesy of Rotten Tomatoes, I need to keep the Brad format going. Thanks largely to a strong cast that leans into the story's humor side, Wicked Little Letters is a diverting comedy, even if the mystery at its core isn't particularly clever.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what I said. If you like these people, you'll love this movie. I'm not surprised that 92%... because this is solidly, like I said, for the PBS set, and they dug it, I can tell.
All right, so let's just zip along, and we'll talk about Challengers first, and before that, I will do the summary, courtesy IMDb. Tashi, a former tennis prodigy turned coach, turned her husband to a champion. But to overcome a losing streak, he must face his ex-best friend and Tashi's ex-boyfriend. This movie stars Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Fast. It's definitely been one that's been on the critical hype train for a while. Mm-hmm. So, I think, Keith, you're a little bit more enthusiastic. I saw a trailer for it, and I was like, I'll give it a shot. And despite the critics really enjoying this and giving it high marks, I just didn't connect with this movie. I felt like all three characters were kind of unlikable, and they are the center of the story. They are the story. And it just didn't work for me. Like, I don't mind watching movies with bad people in it, but I didn't come away with this movie with any lesson learned or really understanding of any of the characters learned any lessons with this. They all just seem to be kind of into themselves, and I don't know. It wasn't appealing to me. Having said that, I like the performances. I mean, Zendaya, most people have known her, since she was a kid, basically, doing Disney stuff. And she spent the last 6 or 7 years being MJ in the Spider-Man universe. And even, like, Euphoria, she's still playing a teenager. I salute her for, like, kind of stretch this out, and make sure that she can take more diverse roles. But I found myself really trying hard to root or at least understand the characters better. But I just didn't connect with her. Josh O'Connor, again, a person who is critically acclaimed. He won an Emmy for The Crown, for playing Prince Charles. and Mike Fast, who we saw in West Side Story, among other things. They're all fine actors, and I think they all have good careers ahead of them. It's just like this movie, I really did try to like it. I tried to understand why the critics liked it. At the end of the day, I just like, I can only give my opinion and if I liked it or not, and I just didn't like this movie. Now, Keith, you ran a poll asking the same question.
I'm not going to read it because that's how I'm going to do my tomatoes.
Yeah. So. And you obviously like this movie, so like, help me understand this better.
Well, I will say you're not wrong, but when I go into movies, there are certain kind of movies that I'm okay if there's no protagonist. And I'll tell you why I liked it, even though there wasn't one. And I didn't know much going in except that it was those three young stars, and I liked Luca Guadagnino quite a bit. I liked the energy of this one and the structure about how their lives are constantly intertwined. You know, I liked that structure and how luckily he kept giving us little time stamps because it goes back and forth, almost like a tennis match itself. I thought of other movies like Spring Breakers or even better, Trainspotting, which is one of my favorite movies. There is not one likable person in that entire movie. You might get their motivation because they're trying to beat smack, but I don't mind movies where I don't understand the protagonist. There really isn't a protagonist here. You could say maybe Mike Fast's character who just wants to be a good guy, but they're all pretty, if not despicable, they're all pretty selfish. I don't mind that. You know, this is, you're right, Zendaya in her adult phase, and I like this a whole lot better than Malcolm and Marie, the movie she made with her Euphoria director and John David Washington. Even though you're right, you can't relate to the characters, I appreciated the structure of it and the overall story.
I think at the end, like towards the end, and you know what? We'll turn off the spoilers. So spoilers, turn away now. Mm-hmm. Bang a tennis ball away now, as Brad would probably say.
He probably would.
Yeah. The cross-cutting really didn't bother me that much because, you know, I mean, you don't have to tell a linear story. We don't like that.
No, but if they didn't have the timestamps, though, I would have been totally lost. Because they're all pretty much the same age.
Yeah. They try to differentiate, like, people through their age and everything like that. But, I don't know, towards the end of the movie, when, like, it's a love triangle between the three. Both Josh O'Connor's character and Mike Fast's character are vying for the affections of Zendaya to varying degrees. And, you know, I mean, hats off to them, too. I mean, there's definitely, like, a strong sexual undercurrent with just those two dudes. You know, that's never really, like, fully explored. But by the time, I won't say who, but by the time at the end of the movie when two of the characters, you know, hook up with each other for the umpteenth time, I was just like, I can't do this anymore, man. I'm like, we got 10 minutes left. I'm so glad.
Well, I'm glad you didn't leave for the last 10 minutes. No, I knew you wouldn't. You know?
No. But I mean, I don't know.
I'm kind of with you. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. That was kind of a breaking point for me. You're right. It's something that Zendaya, and I won't reveal which character, near the end. It's just so despicable. But I will say I enjoy how their lives were intertwined throughout, even though they're not the most likable characters. And, you know, getting to the thruple scene, you know, there's been a long time. You can blame Marvel, you can blame a lot of things. There just isn't sex in movies anymore. It's good sex, bad sex, it's just ignored. And that thruple scene is fun to watch. I mean, it really, there's only one scene, but it is, Lana Foles is very clever, and she's clearly manipulating them, and it's a lot of fun. And, you know, the term adult, unfortunately, people associate with pornography, but you can put sex in movies, and that's why this one is rated R, among other reasons. But another one I thought of was Love Lies Bleeding, also this year recently, was another movie that really piled on the sex and piled it on smartly. You know, I like to see that, and I'm happy to see it, and I thought it was well done here.
I will clarify, too, you know, there's a lot of sexuality in this movie, but, like, actual on-screen sex, there's not a lot. Basically, the most graphic part is there's a make-out scene between the three of them. There's a lot of implied sex, but there's not any kind of graphic.
And nobody gets naked in that. Yeah. Well, they might, but under the covers. No, I can't remember.
You know, for the ladies and the gentlemen, too, if you want to see some male nudity.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of male lockers, nudity. Yeah. There's no full frontal nudity, but
there's a lot of butts.
Yeah. But I just want to clarify, like, it's not sexual, like, 9.5-week sexual,
but it's definitely.
You know, if you haven't watched, if you only know like Zendaya and some of these guys from like, you know, Spider-Man or the Crown or something. I haven't seen the Crown, so I don't know. Maybe there's some sex scenes in there, but
there probably are.
But you know, I mean, we do need movies like this. I mean, to your point, you know, the Marvelization and superhero movies have basically choked out most of the other genres. Mm-hmm. And so a movie like this that does challenge a lot of things and, you know, is definitely a complex movie. We need, even if I didn't like it in particular, we need these kind of movies as, you know, just because, like, I don't need to see another Madam Web. I don't need to see...
Exactly.
You know, we need to see movies like this. Mm-hmm. Why don't we give the ratings then?
Okay, you can go first. I can tell you're mulling.
Yeah. I got to go with my gut. I'm going to give it a 2. I was going to give it a 2.5 just because... But, like I said, it's a... To borrow or like repurpose a Keith's phrase, I'll give it a respectful 2.
Okay, you can't say affectionate 2, but...
No, I'll give it a respectful 2 because I respect what they tried to do. Mm-hmm. I respect the... I'm trying to put it out there. It is not an easy movie.
No.
Or to explain or, you know, you really need to focus on. But even though I want to kind of agree with the critics, because sometimes when you zag, when people zig, you're like, what is, like, why didn't I get it? But I can only go with my gut.
You did get it in your review.
Yeah, and my gut says I didn't particularly like this movie, and I'm going to give it a 2. So what do you got, Keith?
Well, I'm going to give it a 4. I just thoroughly enjoy the structure of it. I like the writing. You're right, these weren't... I don't really need redemption. These were pretty selfish characters. But I enjoyed trying to figure out their motivation. And if you want to see a good, solid adult movie, I recommend this one highly.
And again, adult is like... Like mature, not adult. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying. People too often think adult means pornographic. Yeah. It's not.
Yeah.
This is just a movie for adults.
Yeah. This is not. You know, Zendaya's.
And frankly, yeah. If you're a teenager with some sensibilities,
yeah.
You should go see this also.
Yeah.
There's nothing that crude about it.
No. Like I said, it's not. It's not even that bawdy. Honestly, there isn't. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, with except there's some male backside nudity. Mm-hmm. There's no graphic and sex. Zendaya does not get naked in this movie.
Men, I won't tell you when, but there is some men kissing. If that bothers you, turn away. Yeah. No.
Okay. So let's do Rotten Tomatoes. So it's kind of we have a two-parter. I'm going to give you the traditional thing so Keith can guess. And then Keith also ran a poll mm-hmm. as well, just for his own personal...
Well, I'm going to reveal that at the beginning because I'm going to make it match the audience score.
Okay.
The poll got 26 votes so far. It's running for 7 days.
I voted in it.
I'm hoping to get closer to 100. Did you vote negative?
Yeah, of course.
I figured. But right now it's at 74% positive, so I'll go with that. And critics, I know they really like this. I'll go 85.
You know, you might be on something. So 87 for the critics, 76 for the audience.
Well,
that's 250. So actually, 250. You said you have what? 26 votes.
So
and this is 250. So I mean,
that's a good sample.
That's almost dead.
And it's
on.
Going up. It was 65. So people are Zendaya army's coming through.
Okay. You know? Okay. So critics consensus. With its trio of outstanding performances volleying their star power back and forth without ever dropping the ball, Challengers is kinetic and a sexy romp at the court.
Yeah, I like that little sports cliche there.
It's fine. It's fine. You know, I'm not unhappy that I saw it, but it just, you know, you try something, not everything is a hit for mm-hmm. everybody. So, okay. You have some box office. We're not going to do a full box office.
Oh, that's right.
But you have some specific, because we want to see how this movie did.
Yeah, it did pretty well. I had a budget of $55 million.
Okay.
It made $15 million in week one. That's I think pretty well, because I think the buzz is going to build. I think there's not going to be a big drop-off, because people are going to say, but once they hear it's a pretty good movie, and there's a throuple, they're going to go see it. And number two was a surprise. It's called Unsung Hero. It's a Christian movie about this Australian band called King & Country.
Yeah,
and it made $8 million. The Christians love it. And this movie's supposed to be actually pretty good if you like that kind of thing. It's all about the family and how the band came together. And number 3 through 5, I don't have the totals, but it was Godzilla, Civil War, and then Abigail.
Okay, so I don't know what else we got, so why don't we just wrap it up?
All right. Well, as always, you can reach us at moviesandmeal.og@gmail.com, moviesandmeal on X/Twitter. And, give us a listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any fine podcasts.
Okay, so for this episode of Movies and Meal, I'm Ben.
And Keith.